Okay, hey, hey, hello, hello. In this episode, I am going to talk about climate change. So, are we about to die? Is the imminent death upon us? Well, we don't really know. So, with that in mind, what should we do when we don't know what's going to happen? When we maybe don't even know what we should do, what should we do? So, I'm going to talk about Nassim Taleb's take on climate change and climate models and the precautionary principle. So, take a listen. Oh, by the way, you can check out my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. You can follow me at my YouTube, Taylor Stuch, T-A-Y-L-O-R, space Stuch, S-T-U-C-H. Follow me on Twitter, tstuch1. Email me at tayradio1 at gmail.com. TayRadio1@gmail.com. Thank you. Here we go. So let's discuss some things today. Let's go ahead and get started talking about the Nassim Taleb had dropped some knowledge on everybody the other day. So first, let me go ahead and do a little background on the Nassim Taleb environment thing. So there we go. I have learned from reading Nassim Taleb, watching interviews, looking over his materials, that basically you don't want to put your faith in the accuracy of prediction in models when it comes to complex systems. So any complex system, whether it be like, you know, climate or social, economic interactions, anything in just big overall complex systems, they cannot be accurately predicted, or at least we cannot predict them yet, just because our own limitations on what we can see, what we understand about the world, it prevents us from being able to make correct predictions, or maybe we can make correct predictions, but it's extremely dangerous to bet your, you know, put your faith in the correctness of your prediction, like especially when it comes to climate. I've pointed out previously that it's, if you follow Taleb's type of understanding, then you have to kind of understand that climate models are highly inaccurate. They most likely are wrong. And so when everyone talks about how things are going to be in 100 years, blah, 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 I'm like, listen, it's bullshit, right? I mean, and then this is a very easy one to point out, but it's one that I think people miss a lot, is that we literally have trouble making a weather forecast a week out in advance or discussing the direction of a hurricane or a storm, but like right before it hits. Don't get me wrong, like we're really good at watching them and saying, hey, it's going in this direction. But forecasting things out just a couple days in advance can render us completely different results from what we see on the day of whatever's happening in the weather. And so just with that basic knowledge alone, it should be pretty obvious to anybody that the climate models and the assumptions that people know we're causing problems to the planet and that this is what it's going to be like, they are bullshitters. Now, that being said, Taleb also puts forth an idea called the precautionary principle. And it is that if some kind of systemic action has the potential to cause unknown negative systemic effects, then you should proceed as slowly as possible into that direction or not even go into that direction. So, for example, some things would be systemic. One example could be, say, the government mandates everyone in the country has to get one particular type of vaccine and it's all made from one particular company in one particular facility. So say that's hundreds of millions of people nationwide. So that would be a systemic that the whole country now is at risk because of this one decision to pursue this one line of reasoning, right? So if something goes wrong with the facility, if there's something wrong with the vaccine, then it could potentially kill, you know, people across the whole country. Similarly, when it comes to, we could look at systemic effects You know, I'm just learning about this stuff, so I'm more of like an amateur in this realm, absolutely. But another good example would be people have talked about their ridiculous plans to like put shit in the atmosphere that would deflect sunlight. And that would be another example of a systemic risk that you would not want to pursue, because you don't want to base it on your predictions of what would happen. You want to think about what is the worst possible scenario, or what's a scenario, a bad scenario that could happen. So, a systemic effect. If you were to put aerosol stuff in the air that deflected the sunlight, well, we can't accurately predict how those particles are going to affect the atmosphere. We run the risk of causing some kind of runaway or causing some kind of effect in the atmosphere that could potentially affect people around the world. Okay, so that's an example of when you have large systems that could be entirely at risk because of one particular action or one particular set of actions, then that is a situation where you want to pursue with caution. So, let's go ahead and talk about what Taleb posted the other day about climate. Here it is. So, he says the. Let's see here if I can. There we go. Gonna get a little closer in on this mother. It says the policy debate with respect to anthropogenic climate change typically revolves around the accuracy of models. Okay, so this is something posted on Taleb's Twitter. It's called Climate Models and Precautionary Measures. And there's several guys that are highly respected, including Taleb and some other dudes that if you follow him, you'll know who they are. It's a forthcoming in Issues in Science and Technology. So he says the policy debate with respect to anthropogenic climate change typically revolves around the accuracy of models. Those who contend that models make accurate predictions argue for specific policies to stem foreseen damaging effects. Those who doubt their accuracy cite a lack of reliable evidence of harm to warrant policy action. These two alternatives are not exhaustive. One can sidestep the skepticism of those who question existing climate models by framing risk in the most straightforward possible terms. At the global scale, so this is what we're talking about systemic risk here. That is, we should ask, what would the correct policy be if we had no reliable models? So, we have only one planet. This fact radically constrains the kinds of risks that are appropriate to take at a large scale. Even at risk with a very low probability, even a risk with a very low probability becomes unacceptable when it affects all of us. There's no reversing mistakes of that magnitude. Without any precise models, we can still reason that polluting or altering our environment significantly could put us in uncharted territory, with no statistical track record and potentially large consequences. It is at the core of both scientific decision-making and ancestral wisdom to take seriously absence of evidence when the consequence of an action can be large, and it is a standard textbook decision theory that a policy should depend at least as much on uncertainty concerning the adverse consequences as it does on the known effects. Further, it has been shown that in any system fraught with opacity, harm is in the dose rather than in the nature of the offending substance. It increases nonlinearly to the quantities at stake. Everything fragile has such property. While some amount of pollution is inevitable, high quantities of any pollutant put at a rapidly increasing risk of destabilizing the environment of the climate, a system that is integral to the biosphere. Ergo, we should build down CO2 emissions even regardless of what climate models tell us. This leads to the following asymmetry in climate policy. The scale of the effect must be demonstrated to be large enough to have an impact. Once this is shown, and it has been, the burden of proof of absence of harm is on those who would deny it. It is the degree of opacity and uncertainty in a system, as well as asymmetry in effect, rather than specific model predictions, that should drive the precautionary measures. Push a complex system too far and it will not come back. The popular belief that uncertainty undermines the case for taking seriously the climate crisis the scientists tell us we face is the opposite of the truth. Properly understood, as the driving case. Properly understood as the driving case for precaution, uncertainty radically underscores that case and may even constitute it. Okay, so a bit technical, But some things that I think are important is basically everything fragile has. So basically, putting too much CO2 into the atmosphere, putting anything, any kind of pollutant at a high concentration into the atmosphere poses some unknown risk, is what's part of this says. Okay. And that regardless of the fact that we cannot show what kind of risk it is, means that it doesn't mean that we should not take seriously the risk. Now, this is something I can get on board with, right? This kind of reasoning. Not the kind of reasoning that says, like, oh, we know what's going to happen, blah, 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 because we don't know what's going to happen, right? Like, there could absolutely be nothing that happens. It's also, here's the other thing. Is that it's also not demonstrated that humans are responsible for any of the what they call global change in temperatures. We do know for a fact that increasing too much pollution in certain areas does have a negative effect, right? If you just shoot up an area with too much CO2, I mean, you can go to China, right? If you go to China on certain days of the week, the pollution will be so thick that it's dangerous. Like in Beijing and other major cities. So we know that putting too many pollutants into the atmosphere is harmful to us. Now, does that mean we're causing the change in temperatures that are going on now? No, not necessarily. But does it have the potential to alter the climate or to alter the environment that could be potentially negative and have a runaway effect? Yes. Hold on, gonna have some ads. I'll be right back. Now, I posted underneath this. Somebody on Twitter had talked about this, and my thing was, okay, so I can get behind this reasoning, but now what follows does not mean that we get together and enact a top-down legislation or top-down approach to getting rid of this problem, right? Because the idea really should just be that, okay, we need to figure out a way to pollute less, right? And I agree. At the same time, what's interesting is that I feel like you don't want to do this from a government, necessarily from a government approach, because then that is also a top-down systemic risk problem, from what I see, right? So basically, if you have large national governments or international bodies to say, okay, look, here's what we're going to do. Because the CO2 situation or because the environment situation poses a potential risk, we have decided that these are the best measures to cut emissions. So we're going to raise taxes here. We're going to do this here. But we don't know what kind of effect those top-down policies can have on people and the environment, right? Because the government might say, hey, this kind of energy is going to be outlawed, right? But then that might drive people to use other forms of energy that all are also not as good. It might cause mass worldwide poverty, right? So, for example, if we were to follow the ideas that the radical bullshit fucking piece of shit left wingers want to do, where they just want to outlaw everything, like, oil and gas and all that stuff. If we follow that kind of logic, then that would put us in a situation where things become so expensive that people would just die everywhere. I mean, it might sound like I'm over-exaggerating, but I honestly don't think I am. The entire world relies on oil and gas for plastics, for the transportation of goods, for all the goods that are transported basically around the world. Unless they're using nuclear energy, if they're using diesel, if they're using any kind of fuel from oil and gas to transport from A to B, planes, ships, planes, ships, cars, trucks, our entire logistical framework relies around using oil and gas. Now, so having a top-down approach of we're going to outlaw this, I think is also a systemic risk and is also something that we don't want to undertake. Now, if people like California, for example, want to say, "Hey, in our state, we're going to make things so prohibitively expensive so people don't use oil and gas," that's one thing, right? At a state or local level, it's more reasonable to enact these kinds of policies, I think. Also, though, what I think is the way out of this situation is not legislation. If we approach this situation from Taleb's point of view, which I like, because it's not an expert point of view. And when I say expert point of view, I mean it's not a I'm an expert, do what I say point of view. It's a point of view of, look, we know that putting certain amounts of pollutants in any area is bad. So the fact that we're putting so many pollutants into the atmosphere, it's probably bad, but we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if anything's going to happen. The probability of something happening could be small, but the effect of it could be worldwide disaster, at least for humans, right? So the best way forward would be to try to reduce this situation as much as possible. Now, for me, what I see going forward in this is all about innovation. So to talk, you know, borrow a little bit from, maybe not from Thiel, but there's a guy named Howard Bloom. He talked about it on a Joe Rogan podcast, that if we are really concerned about the climate situation, then we need to innovate our way out of it. I 100% agree. So we've got people like, Elon Musk coming up. You know, he's had two alternate energy types of companies, right? One is SolarCity. The other is Tesla. So Tesla is using batteries. It's all about batteries, rechargeable batteries. Now, don't get me wrong. Where those batteries get their power from on the electric grid is a whole nother thing. But it is a movement maybe away from using so much oil and gas. Okay. Now, if we can figure out a way to make that kind of stuff sustainable, I'm cool with that. I don't give a shit. If somebody can innovate their way to not using so much oil and gas, then there's no issue. I don't see a problem with that. If people are innovating new ways to pull carbon out of the air and, you know, transform it into, you know, oxygen like trees do, like, then I say go ahead, you know, pursue those projects, pursue all these little engineering and technological projects and see what works, and pursue different types of energy. That's something that even Peter Thiel discussed. Peter Thiel talked about how, you know, one reason why we need to see innovation is because globalization will, as it makes the world flatter and makes people more equal on their ability to consume and engage in similar economic activities, it means that without innovation in energy and food production and things like that, without innovation, we're going to be increasingly competing with each other for the same resources. So we need to find new ways to get cheaper, more efficient energy. And I would say along that line, less pollutant energies as well. So, you know, that's, I think it's, we're in a very interesting situation. I'm glad that Taleb finally released what he thought about the situation. So, because I was very curious about what he thought about it. I was pretty much, I already knew a little bit about it from reading his book, Anti-Fragile, that he looks at the environment. It's such a complex an interconnected system that it's you don't want to destroy it by introducing too much of any particular negative thing into an area. So that's all I have to say for today. You can email me questions or commentary at tayradio1@gmail.com. That's tayradio1@gmail.com. You can follow me on my YouTube, taylor/stuch, stuch. You can follow me on Twitter, tstuch1. You can follow me on Periscope. Oh, my website, tstuch.com, tstuch.com. And thank you guys for listening, and have a great day.